There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
I'm Doug Steffen here with Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who is an expert in all things medical, does lots of research, runs a cardiological practice, a clinic down in Mondora, Florida, Lake Cardiology. He's the man in the know and on the go. So each week he tears apart a half a dozen of the medical journals to present to you the most impactful information. That is, as he decides what he's going to tell us, it's the reason he tells us is because it has all these stories have some really strong impact on our lives, on our health, on our well-being. So this is something that I have, the first study we're looking at, Ken, I've philosophized on this a lot, how important touching is to being healthy. The physical touch that people have with one another, the loving touch, the caring touch, but no matter how you look at it, this is something that has great. And this sort of digs deeper into the whole business about the spirit mind body connection, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Doug, this is great information that comes out of the proceedings of the National Academy of Science this week. This is new research that shows that holding your loved one's hand when they are in pain will comfort them and cause your brain waves to synchronize.
So, if we dig into that, because you're somebody who is very much a believer in all of the work that you do is based on evidence. You like to refer to yourself as an evidence-based doctor. A lot of the things that some doctors come up with, people take shots at it because it isn't necessarily based on some sort of formalized study. But in this circumstance, this could be considered out of the box, except that it's been studied now because people are giving it more credibility, whereas 30, 40 years ago when you were in school, I bet people would have laughed at this.
Absolutely. That's true. A lot of the emotional issues about impact on health were poo-pooed, definitely. Yeah. Stress, mental right. stress, big poo-poo. Right. And we learn. We continue to learn.
Yep. So it's not always smart, and I don't say this to you. I'm just saying in general.
Keep an open mind.
Stuff. Absolutely. Got to keep an open mind to stuff. But touching your loved ones, people that you're not only those who are sick, but people who you want to have a connection with. If you want to, there's nothing more powerful. In my experience, in my life, the most exciting moments, the most wonderful moments have been when I was holding the hand of somebody that I loved, whether it was a woman that I was madly in love with, or when I'm walking along, Megan and I will be walking with Miles, and he'll reach up and grab his mother's hand and my hand.
And they weren't even in pain.
No, it's just a thrilling, and it does such wonders for their security. Yeah, so it isn't just about pain, but in this case, the study was specifically about pain and brainwaves, but there is a benefit to touching no matter how you slice it. So, and I'm thinking that in this movie that we've been talking about that's out, Wrinkles in Time, I'm going to bet that there's some of this kind of philosophy that'll be in that movie. So
reach out and touch someone who wants to be touched.
Yep. There you go. All right. We have a definition. Can we go through a couple of definitions here for the benefit of people who want to know what the difference is between a primary care doctor, a specialist, the different levels? Remember I said to you that in order to get a reference for a knee MRI, I had to get my primary care doctor to tell the doctors at UCLA that I needed to have my knee. I mean, it seems ridiculous, but let's go through the different types of doctors and how they are described. Can we do that?
Sure.
For the benefit of those who want to understand this next study.
Sure. A primary care physician is the physician who you usually go to first for routine care. They're kind of like a department store. They take care of just about everything routine, and often there are issues that come up that the generalist can't take care of, and they need more expert help with some of the specialized issues, and then they refer out to the specialists. And those are doctors who know a lot about a little, instead of the generalists who know a little bit about a lot.
Would you consider this to be the old days reference to general practitioners? Is a primary care doctor the same as a GP?
Yes, it's a little bit more of a trained GP.
Mm-hmm. All right. And are there more people coming out of medical school that are practicing this, or are there more people coming out of medical school that are just going for a specialty?
Well, there are probably not enough people who are going into primary care, and there are probably a little more of an interest in specialists, but this has been a forever issue, and there's forever a concern to make primary care more appealing to most physicians.
As the healthcare industry affected by health insurance, we at first were speculating that a lot of people wouldn't go into a general practitioner as general practitioners because there wasn't the kind of reimbursement as there is for specialized fields. Is that still the case, or has the whole business of national health care sort of quieted down and people now want to go back to being to getting into medical?
Well, there still is a difference in earnings between specialists and generalists, but it's not as steep as it was when I started 30 years ago. So, and again, it attracts different people, and the training is not as long when you become a primary care physician. So there's attractiveness to getting into it quicker. So, you know, it's a lot of different issues, and it's a little bit of a different lifestyle. And fortunately, there are many different types of people that get into medicine and have different interests. If we were all the same, it would be pretty boring.
I certainly would. Ooh. All right. So the primary care doctor study on type 2 diabetes and how to handle it. This is something that looks like it has, there are more and more people that you see all the time have diabetes, right?
Absolutely. This is important stuff. This was published this week in the Annals of Internal Medicine. The American College of Physicians, this is an illustrious group that represents primary care in America, has issued new guidelines on managing type 2 diabetes. Remember, this is the kind that usually occurs in obese people who make too much insulin as opposed to not any. And this includes relaxing the long-term blood sugar target. It's called hemoglobin A1C. A1C is a blood test, Doug, that gives doctors an estimate of your blood sugar level average over the past few months. For most adults, the American Diabetes Association recommends a target A1C of below 7%. This goal may be altered based on individual circumstances. However, the new American College of Physicians guidance suggests that A1C should be between 7 and 8% for most adults with type 2 diabetes. For adults who achieve an A1C below 6.5%, the group suggests stepping down diabetes treatment to keep that level from going even lower. So it's a little bit easier to be a type 2 diabetic these days than it was last week.
Oh, how relaxing. Come on. It's what you eat. Sometimes it's hereditary, but more it's how you eat and live, isn't it, that causes type 2 diabetes?
What you can really do here is limit or avoid the white flour products. And after the doctor says it's okay, get to the gym and do aerobics and strength training so you're down to ideal body weight. The way to avoid all this havoc is to stay at ideal body weight.
Yep. All right. There you go. Or within a few pounds of it one way or another. But
as close as possible, because the diabetes, the problem is it increases the risk of heart attacks, strokes, erectile dysfunction, eye issues, just head to toe. Your limbs not working well, having funny sensations, we call neuropathies. Just head to toe, the circulation not working well, and everything just stops being as good as it should be. The kidneys, you name it, the organs affected.
All right. So there's more great advice from Dr. Ken. Dr. Ken Kronhaus here on Good Day Health. Another good way for you to enjoy health and your well-being. It seems to be an underscore. Certain companies do certain things that are certainly good for you. And among that group of that exclusive group of companies is Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, Purity Products. They have intelligent nutritional solutions for a lot of things that will keep you from going off the deep end, if you will. And this Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10, certainly a great example of that. Makes a big difference in everybody's life who gets in on it. And the people at Purity know that. That's why they're offering you the opportunity to make Dr. Ken and other doctors very happy with you. Get on board. Try it for the first month free. 800-355-1493. This is how it works. Fish oil, which is part of this, the Omega 50 Plus has krill oil and fish oil in it. Now, we know that it's better to eat the right fishes and things, but you can't always do that. So this gives you the leg up so that you always have enough in your system. Purity Products and the Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10, now available at 800-355-1493. It's free. You pay a little shipping, and that's it. Boosts joint comfort, great for your cardiovascular health, gets the blood to your muscles, to your brain, all over your body, everywhere important. You got to have blood everywhere, and this helps to make it all work. It's not just fish oil, and it's not just krill oil. It's both of them, and now it's free. Pay the shipping and claim your bottle at 800-355-1493. Fish oil is so good for your IQ, too. It's good for everything. Think about it, and then take action. 800-355-1493 for your free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10. All right, next item here. If you drink a lot, you're going to have dementia, and you're going to get it a whole lot sooner, it would look like. That's what I'm getting out of this. What do you get out of it?
Exactly. This is something that you can prevent. People are usually most concerned in their life about getting dementia. This comes out of Lancet Public Health. Doug, that heavy drinkers may be more likely than other adults to develop dementia, especially in middle age. Chronic heavy drinking is the most important modifiable risk factor for dementia onset in both genders and remains so after controlling for all known risk factors for dementia onset.
What would be the reason for that? Is it the alcohol itself? Is it the sugar in the drink? Why do you think that this is worse than drinking tea, for example, for your brain?
It's just really not well known. I think there are some things in alcohol that in excess become toxins and just destroy the brain material itself.
Yeah, like some of the things that you, again, back to what you eat, what you put in your body, they're not, what you smoke, you know, that kind of stuff.
In moderation, 0 to 1 serving a day for women, 1 to 2 servings a day for men. But when you get beyond that, it becomes a toxin, a poison.
Yeah, and it'll do you in. So word again to the wise, don't be drinking. Have a little drink here and there, but overdoing it, you just, unless you want to depart early, that's a great way to do it, is follow that the advice to drink a lot. Okay, next on the overview of information from the proceedings of the various academies and the journals and that sort of thing, a focus on opioids. There isn't a week that goes by these days that we don't have some information about opioids. And this one is very important for those of you who are so easily prescribed, the willy-nilly prescriptions given out for the opioids. It doesn't make any difference whether you take an opioid or you take, it looks like regular anti-inflammatory like Aleve. It's the same thing, right?
Well, this is, exactly. This is encouraging news published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, so-called JAMA, important medical journal. We already know that opioids are more dangerous than other treatment options, Doug, as you were alluding to, because the opioids put people at risk for accidental death and addiction. Well, acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, ibuprofen, and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, like you mentioned one before, they're better than opioids at easing the intensity of chronic pain in the back, knees, or hips, according to this study this week published. And opioids are no better than these other drugs at reducing how much pain interferes with daily activities like walking, working, sleeping, or enjoying life. So really good news.
Good news.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Starting Balance of Nature, I felt it the first month. I felt different. It made such a difference that now I wake up, my head feels clearer, I have more energy. Very rarely does my body cramp up anymore. It's the best thing. It's just amazing. I don't know what to say. I just would not be what I am today if I didn't start Balance of Nature.
I plan on taking this the rest of my life because until I started taking your stuff, I never took as many fruits and vegetables in a day as I get through you guys. You know, I'm very, very, very satisfied.
My pain and my it went away. I swear to you that that's the truth.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
All right, let's take apart some of the other things that are here that people will benefit from hearing you discuss. I noticed that 23andMe has been approved by the FDA to evaluate cancer risk. So I sent in about a month and a half ago the things that were required in order to get an evaluation. I haven't gotten the information back yet because they say it takes 6 to 8 weeks to evaluate it, and then they give you all this stuff back again. A lot of people don't do. This is one step further, Ken, than Ancestry because it gives you a lot of information about your medical as well as your historical origins.
It looks at your genes.
Yeah, right. So 23andMe has a genetic test. I'm not doing an ad for them. I'm just telling you that this is what they do. And now they're going to focus on whether or not you're at risk for cancer. So some of the things that they have already been okay to do was check your risk for dementia or other things. They ask you, you know, when I took this, I don't know if you, I don't think I told you this. When I took the, one night I got to California late and the thing was sitting there and I just decided I wanted to get it done. So I stayed up pretty much through the night. It took almost 3 hours. I had gotten in late, and I was going to go to bed, and I thought, I'll just stay up and do the program. It took me almost 3 hours to go through their questionnaire to answer all the questions about my background, heredity, what was my lifestyle, what I eat, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a very thorough checkup. And I think depending on what comes back, I'll reserve my enthusiasm for telling you to go do it until after I see what the results are. But this particular test checks for genetic variants on what they call the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. What are those?
Those are genes that are associated with increased risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and very important for especially women, but they'll tell you guys also who are at increased risk of breast cancer. And the 23andMe also tells somewhat about increased risk of prostate cancer in men and some other less common cancers.
Mm-hmm. The test identifies the genetic variants and then informs you. There's apparently some sect in Judaism that if you are a descendant of that, you're really in line for cancer. Isn't that interesting that it would be, I don't know, I think sometimes people confuse religious Jews and ethnic Jews. Do you agree with that? Some people are both and some people are not necessarily religious Jews, but they're ethnic Jews. And I wonder where this might, the genetic testing is bringing people around to this. They have specifically identified a particular sect in Judaism. If you're a descendant of that, then you're going to be more likely, like really likely, to get cancer. I find that fascinating.
Ashkenazi Jews are apparently at higher risk of the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. And
why would that be, do you think?
It's all in the genes.
Yeah, but where do they come? What's the derivation? The Ashkenazi Jews come from where?
Why this developed? It's one of those things. There was a mutation, and you know, a lot of inbreeding, and then that just amplifies that mutation, and that's what happens.
Inbreeding is very dangerous, isn't it?
Well, I'm using the word inbreeding, and you know, just I don't mean what you're thinking, but I mean just within the small minority.
We know each other well enough to know what we're thinking. That's it. Yeah, and then I think that's that's probably true. All right, here's something else that I find fascinating, and I hope the audience does as well. I pick these things out, and you pick your things out, because we think it's going to be relevant to people who want to get more information. The most expensive age in which to be alive. There is the health and well-being, the way you live your life, whatever it is. The most expensive age is 31. 31-year-olds typically in the midst of a mix of getting married, having children, saving for a house, and their health is liable to be. This is what got me about this. 31-year-olds generally have the best health at that age in your life. Do you remember what you felt like when you were 31? You were still in medical school, right, when you were 31?
I was still in training. I was out of medical school, but in training. But this is when most people, not most doctors, but some doctors, a lot of doctors, but not everyone, you know, you're thinking about getting married, having children, saving for a home. And also, this was a British study, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yep. So does that not apply? Do you think that there is enough difference in where we live to...
I think it probably... I think this is an expensive time. I think another expensive time is the time at the end of life when all your medical bills are so high.
Right, close to the end of life. And that's where the insurance comes, it'll tell you. And thus the... Remember when there was all the controversy about whether there would be a committee that decided... That was the rap on Obamacare. There was going to be a committee of people who would decide whether you could live or die. And I don't think that didn't come. That didn't come to pass. But still, it was never there. But I mean, there were some societies.
It was there, but not instituted. But that shell is even gone now.
Yeah, it is. Okay, all right. Superbugs. This sounds like it would be the name of a new movie. Superbugs. The discussion of how to take an antibiotic or find an antibiotic to get rid of some of this new dangerous bacteria that's around. Populations of bacteria viewed as impervious to some antibiotics. So my question is, this research being done at Emory University, why are they doing this in the first place? Isn't it dangerous? They admit in the story that I saw in the Wall Street Journal that this thing could get out. And it would be horrible because there's really no way of it's a mutating bacteria that can't be treated by any antibiotic. So why the hell would they be messing with it if they don't know how to control it?
Well, because they're concerned in real life that this will happen.
Do you think in your experience as a doctor that this could happen?
There's a race. There's a race going on side by side. About the bacteria trying to mutate to stay ahead of the antibiotics, which are continuously needing to be improved. And fortunately, the antibiotics are staying ahead of the mutation of the bacteria. But at times, it gets pretty close. So the big major concern is that a bug mutates and becomes totally resistant to any antibiotic that's around. So this kind of research needs to be going on in real time all the time because there's not enough distance, even right now, between what we have for antibiotics and the bugs and their ability to create resistance to the antibiotics.
All right, let me see if I understand this correctly. What you're saying is that what I hear you saying, my interpretation is that the bacteria has a mind of its own and is smart enough to be able to somehow or other in a collective be able to get beyond. We develop antibodies in our body to forestall the impact of bad bacteria. So we continue to put them off, but they continue to find ways to get around whatever it is.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a very good accountant gets around all the IRS rules.
Well,
IRS comes up with a rule, and the accountant figures out how to get around it.
Well,
is that what
this is? I don't want to talk about the IRS, but that's exactly what is going on with these bugs, that they are clever, and they have genetic changes that allow them to get around these antibiotics, and we have to continuously evolve the antibiotics to stay ahead. Ongoing battle.
Think about that, though. I mean, think about the implications here.
And that's why we don't use plain old penicillin rarely anymore, because as we introduced the first antibiotic, the bugs figured out ways to get around it.
But that's what I'm saying. We think of ourselves as so smart. We haven't figured out how to do stuff like that. I guess we kind of do. But the fact that this is a often not a single cell organ, but a very, it's not visible. Most bacteria is not visible to the naked eye, right? You can't look at something, a piece of paper, and see that there are bacteria crawling across there, or maybe the stuff that I see on the farm. I'm not going to see that stuff. But yet they can think.
They divide so rapidly, and it's hard to know whether it's part of a nervous system that does this, but it's a genetic reflex, and it's survival. It's just built into all living beings to survive, and that's the beauty of how the living organisms work, and their drive to survive is to evolve and get around these resistances that antibiotics create.
So is it, some in the horror movies or some of the futuristic sci-fi movies are on the X-Files, you sometimes hear there's a theory involved, and it more or less is what we've just been talking about. Some bacteria takes over and kills all humanity, and they become the predominant species
right.
on the planet.
The superbug will be that bug where there's no antibiotic, sensitive, effective, and it just takes over. And that, people who think about this do stay up at night worrying about it.
So a super bug, I don't want you to stay up at night and worry about it because not much.
Well, I'm not, but I let other people are working on that. And that's why this kind of research needs to go on extremely carefully, because obviously you don't want these bugs to get out. But it's always gone on forever. When I was an intern at Duke in the early 1980s, we used a lot different antibiotics back then than we do now, because most of the antibiotics that were really effective in the 1980s don't work anymore against so many of the organisms.
So for those of us who don't like the drug companies because they think they're screwing us 85 ways from Sunday, perhaps we ought to step back a little bit
and be thankful
in part that there are some bacteria, that are some drug companies and drugs being created that would keep these bacteria from taking over the world.
Correct.
That's really kind of what they'll do if you don't have a way of curbing them.
Correct.
So there's that.
And the research is very expensive.
Let me remind you about getting a good night's rest. We all talk about, Ken, tell you how important it is every night to get a good night's rest. Best way to do it is with great pillows and great things for your bedroom at MyPillow.com. All their products are made in the USA. Certainly their pillows are, you see and hear those stories on TV all the time. We talk about them on the radio all the time. But they have mattresses. They've got sheets. So check all of it out and get 50% off using the code DJV at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Promo code DJV. I find this to be very interesting. Babies who resemble their father are healthier by the time they get to their first birthday. That is an interesting overview of reality, Ken.
Yes, fathers are important. This is published this week in the Journal of Health Economics. That, in fact, the news this week is that babies that most resemble their father are found to be significantly healthier when they reach the one-year mark. Children living in single-mother families, Doug, have poorer levels of health. This effect is measured even when socioeconomic factors are taken into account.
Why? Why would that be? What would be the reason? Is it psychological? Is it spiritual? Is it mental? Is it physical? What is it? Why?
That's the next study. They especially conclude in this report, in this publication, they don't know the mechanism, and more study and research is indicated.
Is it that they look like their fathers? Is that when we talk about resembling your father,
correct,
isn't the assumption that it would be you look like your father?
They look like their father.
Hmm. It's very interesting thinking back about my two children, and maybe you think about your daughter, what she looked like when she was born, what my children looked like when they were born, or all of you.
I could not deny her.
Well, the things that change when Megan was born, for example, this is probably the happiest moment of my life. When I saw her come out in the incubator, her hands and legs were flailing around, and she was yelling and screaming, and she looked like my wife's father at that point. Her face looked just like her grandfather. And then It changed. So now if you look at her, she looks just like a Stefan. She looks, there are a couple, she has a couple of cousins that look just like her. She looks amazingly like my mother.
Well, she's pretty healthy, right?
Yeah, she is healthy.
Well, there's consistent with
but
the study.
But it's changed over the course of her life. Our looks change, and it's amazing. People say, I look like my father now.
Well,
I never thought I looked like my father.
At 1 year, who did she look most like? That's what this
Megan,
study
said. Megan, at 1 year, looked mostly like her mother.
Well,
what I
so
remember.
Be it.
But she didn't look like her grandfather at all, though. She looked like her mother. And then she, over the course of her being a teenager, by the time she got to be 16, 17, 18 years old, she looked just like her cousin, who looked just like a Stefan.
Well, this study didn't go that far. It just went, looks at 1 year.
Right. Okay, let's stay with a baby theme, shall we, for another moment or two. Vaccines and their impact on the immune system of babies. I wonder why this was studied.
Well, to reassure parents. This research was published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It shows, Doug, that there's no evidence that routine vaccines somehow dampen kids' immune systems. This new study suggests the theory of overloading an infant's immune system is highly unlikely, so parents can now better understand the safety and benefits of vaccinating on time.
So what would be the... I never heard this theory before. I know that there is argument back and forth between people who support vaccines and who don't, but I've never ever heard before that the claim that vaccines would weaken your immune system. I don't see how they would have. Is it that is a theory that the material in the vaccines would attack your immune system?
Correct. Just overload it.
Uh-huh. And that's not true, apparently,
correct,
according to this study. Anyway, all right. That's just a, you know, the whole philosophy about having a strong immune system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Matter of fact, it's probably a good time for us to put in a good word for the immune system. Balance of Nature is the company that produces these fruits and vegetables that if you haven't heard about, you haven't tried them, maybe it would be a good time for you to do it. You know, eating more fruits and vegetables is important. It's the key to getting all the vitamins into your body. And as Ken will tell you, it's better to eat this stuff than not. But how many people are eating 10, 11 different fruits and as many different vegetables a day? You can get, however, the production of all of those elements in the capsules that are dried fruit and dried vegetables produced exclusively by the folks at Balance of Nature. And they will guarantee that the food products are whole and perfect. So go online to balanceofnature.com, use the promo code DJV, and order in the enhancement for your immune system, Balance of Nature, whole ripened fruits and vegetables. There for the offering free. The first month supply is free when you use DJV, the code DJV. Balanceofnature.com, code DJV.